Tonight we're going to be talking about this subject. We need to choose to be church builders. That's a responsibility for each and every person in here. Don't you dare try to put that off on the leadership of the church. Oh, it's our responsibility too, but it's yours as well. Are you with me? How many people? I suspect that there's a few, okay? I don't think we're the only people in the world, but when I was a little kid, my grandpa's house, my mom's dad, there was a threshold that didn't have a door frame in it or anything, and there was a whole bunch of lines on that door jamb. Anybody know who knows what I'm talking about? Dan, 3 years old. Dan at 6 years old. You know what I'm saying? Measuring growth. Church, we need to be a people that expects growth. A people that is devoted to growth. And I'm not talking about some publicly formulated campaign. Church growth begins individually. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. All the bus programs of the last 20 years, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that we shouldn't endeavor to do anything as a church, but I'm talking about church growth on a personal level. Building us up and building each other up, okay? So, having said that, let me launch into this so that I can not keep us here all night. Okay. First of all, I want to tell you there are some good books on church growth. I've read some of them and been recommended to some of them, okay? I want to mention them. The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. Good book. It gets you really thinking. When God Builds a Church by Bob Russell. Natural Church Development by Christian Schwartz. Effective Church Strategies by Gene Getz and Joe Wall. These are some good books that give us ideas about how to build our spirituality. I've read some of them. Another one is by the 21st Century Christian Press, City on a Hill. I'd recommend that. If we're not focused on growth, what are we focused on? Well, I'm going to ask that question again. If we're not focused on growth, what are we focused on? Now, I'm going to help you answer that question. We're focused on ourselves if we're not focused on growing, okay? The focus has turned inward. And you know what, church? Churches struggle with this. This church has struggled with this from time to time. Sometimes we do better, sometimes we don't. I'm just being candid. Is that okay? Our focus needs to be on the Lord and growing His kingdom. That's what He wants from us, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Now, I want to list some commitments to church growth, some ways that we can be about growing God's kingdom. His name slipped my mind. One of my instructors at Sunset gave me some ideas on this, and I want to make sure that to give him the credit, and I'll think of his name here in a little bit. I'm having a senior moment. First of all, somebody says, he's having a senior moment? I see you. I say, No. Although Jared Payton's a really good guy. I'll think of his name. First of all, we as a church need to affirm biblical beliefs. Now, I want you to note, I've never preached a sermon on instrumental music. And I have to ask myself, why not? I've been preparing for the last several years, reading everything I can, studying every angle. I'm preparing myself, but we need to affirm those biblical things that we hold to be true. A growing, healthy church must preserve its distinct identity. If we don't preserve our identity, we become somebody else, and that's unacceptable. We have, the sad reality is, anybody in here ever had the credit card stolen? Credit card? I bought something online, and next thing I'm getting a call saying, are you in Amsterdam? Are you buying this? No, I'm not. Somebody took my identity. Someone took my credit card number, claimed to be Dan Pierce, that scallywag. He tried to become me. Okay? Now, so we need to affirm the things that are true. Study habits in regard to those biblical principles need to be disciplined. We need, you know, study is a discipline. Study is not something that you grow at when you just say, oh, I feel like studying tonight. How many nights do you really feel like studying? How many of you don't have supper to eat, dishes to wash, kids to wash? I thought that was funny. How many of, I mean, you know, does our study just naturally, oh, I think I'll study tonight. It doesn't happen too often. We have to discipline ourselves, set aside time for God for an in-depth, comprehensive, biblical study. You know what? I'll know, you know, I know who's doing that in here. You know how I know? I'll give you an idea. They always come and say, hey, I was studying this. What does this word mean? That's what you're doing when you're really in-depth studying. Now, noted, not everybody comes to me, okay? But real study promotes real questions. Real questions lead you to biblical truth, okay? Instead of taking the position, I'm Church of Christ, I just don't believe in instrumental music because we don't believe in instrumental music. That's a hogwash of an explanation. That's not biblical, doesn't come from a book. You might as well, you're a parrot if you're saying that, okay? Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? You're just repeating something. God doesn't want you to be a parrot. He wants you to read His Word. An emphasis on the centrality, the central message of God's Word, the Bible, needs to be a part of our life all the time. You know, one thing that's pretty impressive about what we do here, we're in God's Word all the time. We got some great teachers. I mean, from the adult class to the young kids class, I don't know if you've understood how much Bible that we've been in the last 4 years, how much Bible. I've had to try to correlate my preaching, so I'm not preaching the same stuff. It's that much. It takes a little effort. That's a good thing. This church has made the Bible a central focus. That's a good thing. Second thing is talking about commitments to church growth, is to infuse a hunger for God. Matthew chapter 5. Oh man, I love Matthew. I love this Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Church, let me tell you something. If you want to grow the Cedar Lou Church of Christ, it will happen because you are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. That is part of what I feel as a preacher. That's part of a big part of my motivation. I don't just want to teach you the truth, but I want to make you hungry for it. Nobody in here probably much knows hunger. We're all fat people, right? Metaphorically speaking, don't get upset at me. We never want for food. How many people in here have empty refrigerators? You couldn't put another thing in my refrigerator if you wanted to. French onion dip. Just had some before I came. Leftover turkey in a Tupperware container. So if we don't know hunger really, we have a hard time understanding this fact. You can be hungry and thirsty for God. That's what I want to do as a preacher. I want to get you fired up, get you excited, getting you tasting God. There you go. There's a John chapter 6 principle. Okay? Hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The next one in our commitment to church growth is to develop healthy members. Most of us are human beings in here, with a few exceptions. I'm trying to lighten y'all up just a little bit, okay? That means this, that we are all, each and every one of us, marked by sin and some type of dysfunction. I stand here, lone wolf, telling you I'm dysfunctional. And I'm telling you that you're dysfunctional too in some way. In some way of your mind, your understanding, your thought process. None of us are perfect. So we need to try to develop each other and help each other along. And in doing that, in developing healthy members, there are a few keys. And I just want to state them. We need to be a people of self-examination. I watch the TV all the time. What channel is that? Channel 7. KWWL. Ooh, I'm getting good. It only took 4 years. Women and breast cancer. They say, check yourself. Self-checkup. Church, we need to be a people that are checking ourselves over spiritually. Examining. You know what? There's some people that don't like to look in the mirror because sometimes it hurts. They spend their whole lives, they won't look in the spiritual mirror because they just want to take it as they feel it. We're a feel-good society, aren't we? Church, to build healthy members, we've got to be a people who are willing to do self-examinations. We have to be a people devoted to prayer and relationship with God. Some people, I know this is true because I've been there myself at different times in my life. The totality of my relationship with God basically was me reading His Word. Is that going to get it? Is that going to build a healthy relationship? You're going to learn a lot about God, but it becomes two-dimensional almost. Like when I saw Jesus when I was studying that, I'd see Him two-dimensional on a page instead of three-dimensional living. Are you with me? To develop healthy members, we got to be devoted to prayer and build a relationship with God. Okay? That means not just prayer, but also meditation. You got time to meditate, Sam? I don't. I got to mow the grass, scoop the snow off the sidewalk, wash the kids, as I said, fix dinner. I got all this stuff to do, right? It takes time to have a relationship. That's what I'm saying. We are people of such guarded time. And here is a really good one that Truman Scott, that's his name, mentions mutual confession. Mutual confession. We don't like to tell each other our problems. I'm kind of excited because in the last 4 years, a number of you in private have come up and told me some of your personal deep struggles. And once in a while, I ask you about those. When we confess to each other, we hold each other accountable. We end up lifting each other up. So here my point is developing a healthy membership as opposed to a dysfunctional one. Okay? There are churches, for example, where church is only about the service time. Come to church, let's do our singing, let's do this. Don't tell us any of your problems, and we go home. There are churches in our brotherhood like that. Do you know that? This church can't be about that. We've got to care about each other, okay? We've got to be in each other's life. And you know what? Not just enough for me to be willing to listen, but enough for you to be able to say, I'm struggling with this sin. You know, interestingly, the folks in this assembly that have grown the most are the ones coming up to me saying, I'm struggling with this sin. And they just say the sin. But, you know, some people, oh, I wouldn't dare do that. Why not? Think about it. God doesn't know your sin? You know, probably most of the time, everybody else knows it anyway, by the way. You should really know that. A lot of times we think things are private when they're really not. Okay. Next thing in commitment to church growth is make brotherly love a very part of our core. In church, I just want to, you know, you can go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can read about love. Love one another from the book of 1 John. You can read about all that and you can understand, okay, God wants us to be a people of love. But if we're going to grow the church, we got to be a people of deep love. Okay? Deep love. Love that's patient. Now, I'm thinking of an instance right now, and I'm just going to say it, okay? Sister Toni Lovejoy. She ain't been here in a long time. Months. Daryl Lennox hasn't been here in months. There's a list of several people like that. Now, Sister Toni, there are a number of you a little bit miffed at her. I'm just telling it the way it is, okay? Because you're a little bit upset because you go knock on her door and she won't even come to her door. There are some of you so miffed, you're thinking, well, I'm not going to that wedding shower for Alicia at Tony's house because I'm upset at Toni. How deep does love go? Love is patient, church. Love goes after people. If you're going to go to hell, it ain't going to be because I didn't throw the lifeline out to you. And because I didn't extend my love. Sometimes it's hard to love you. Do you know that? You know that because sometimes it's hard to love me, right? But it's something that we do because it's who we are. Because we are filled with God. Love dictates forgiveness. Even before it's asked. Are we that kind of people? Do we know that we can count on each other? If Ward needs a ride, Glenn is going to go get him. Doesn't matter though, it's time for the sermon to begin. What's more important for his brother that's a little bit confused to get here if he wants to be here? Are we that kind of people? That's the kind of people that Jesus wants to build his kingdom. That doesn't say that we overlook sin in each other and become tolerant. Matter of fact, love dictates that we spell out the sin in each other to help each other grow. What about that one? Love is a deep thing. Develop, now this is Truman's idea on this one. Develop an inspiring worship. Now, I've got something to say about that, but I want to read what he says first. God-centered worship is the prerequisite for growing healthy churches. Members come to worship to fill their hearts with God and to go out and to share God with every person that they meet. There's 8 things in connection to worship that are mentioned that I want to spell out. Adoration, praise, thanksgiving, confession, petition, intercession, commitment, and meditation. You know, this church here is pretty exciting to me because this church gets excited about worship. I look around and I see your faces while we're singing, while we're praying and partaking of the Lord's Supper. You guys are excited about lifting God up. That's something that resonates. You know that? That's something that's catchy. The plague ain't quite that catchy. I'm talking about, we've got some folks. Brother Engel leads us in good songs. We have a lot of song leaders here in every corner. We have men that prepare themselves to say something on the Lord's Supper to inspire our thoughts about Jesus. We have elders who care about what's going on here and how and when and where and how much we're lifting God up. Church, we need to keep being about that. Because you know what? You can lead people to Christ when people see that you're passionate about worship. Isn't that true? The next thing is to be a, if you're going to build a church, you've got to be a people that are passionate about lost souls. Passionate about lost souls. I can't speak in general, so let me dice up my idea here. There are some folks in this room really committed to sharing Jesus with the lost world. And there are some folks in here that's not. That's just the way it goes. We as a church have not done collectively, some people have done a good job, so if you don't fit the bill, don't take offense. We collectively as a church have not done that great a job in the last 4 years. And I want to tell you why. Our focus has been inward. We're too busy focusing on ourselves, so to the point that we don't worry about taking the gospel out in the world. It's not wrong to have a fellowship hall, let me preface the statement. But if all of our Christianity is about having fellowship dinners with each other, we start living that. And our whole Christianity just becomes about each other instead of having a passion to go out and to share the gospel with other people. Now, how to do that is a challenging thing. I struggle with it too. The door knocking days are about over. Because the person behind the door might shoot you. You know what I'm saying? Not that you need to be worried that God won't take care of you. People are not receptive. They don't want you. Nobody in general, 80% of people, don't want you knocking on their doors. They consider it an invasion of privacy. So how are we going to do this? Well, we do it individually first, okay? That's what my hope has been as a preacher, is that if I preach God's Word and share His passion with you, you'll be inclined to do it in your life. And you know what? We have baptized, last year we baptized 16 people. A lot of them our children, okay? But we've also did some reaching out, so I don't want to hammer on us, but I can say this, we need to do better at that. We need to grow a heart for the lost. I want to ask you a question that you just answer to yourself. When's the last time you shed a tear over the lost? Does the lost affect you in that way? And if not, why not? The fact that there are lost people should break our hearts. It broke the Lord's heart. He hung on a cross to help save them. Should that act go in vain? Should someone show up to heaven and say, "Hey, I'm here to get in. I'm from Cedar Falls." We don't know you here. You're not on our roll book. Where'd you live in Cedar Falls? Oh, I live next to the door of the preacher of the Cedar Lou Church of Christ. Didn't even know him. Is that us? Can that be us? Commitment to growth includes a passion for the lost. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, that we need to go take that message to the world, that the harvest is ripe. Okay? It's time to go. The next thing in church growth is growing a strong leadership. A lot of you folks have worked for John Deere. A lot of you work at other places that does the same thing. Y'all ever have training days at John Deere? Really? You ever have training days at Granger? Oh, training is vital, huh? When's the last time we sent our leaders to training? Yeah. Yeah. Last week, two of our folks did go. That's pretty unusual, though. We don't usually find it to be an important enough thing to send our elders off to a lectureship to where they can gain valuable tools. I don't know why we don't, but church, growing a church means growing a leadership. We need to be a people who's thinking about training our leaders, because leadership doesn't come naturally. How's that? Every day I wake up and look in the mirror and I say, I'm sure I can do this. I don't have the ability, Lord, if you don't help me. Every Monday morning I sit down and start working on my sermon and I pray and I say, Lord, I can't write this sermon. The only way it's going to get done is if you help me, because I just don't know if I understand it all. Are we going to be a people who try to help our leaders figure out what they need and get them the training for it? We haven't been in the past. On occasion we have. We do little things. But what, you know what? If that's a pretty serious thought. First of all, you've got to identify areas that need to be improved, right? Well, you look in your mirror, let me look in mine type of mentality. You hear what I'm saying? No, you can look in my mirror too. And if you see something I need to grow at, you need to say, Dano, you need to get some training. You need to get some training to figure out how to preach a shorter sermon so we don't all go to sleep. See what I'm saying? Send Dan to a lectureship on short sermon preparation. Quit laughing back there, Edward. Okay. Also, church growth means involving members according to their giftedness. We do a pretty good job of that here. We do a pretty good job of getting people plugged in. It's been my mentality, and I know also the mentality of our elders, that if you're going to keep somebody, you got to get them plugged in. If you're going to grow a passionate member, you got to get them plugged in according to their giftedness. You can read about gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians and Peter. You can read about those things and understand. So first of all, we got to figure out what each other's giftedness is. We have giftedness tests that we've taken, right? To try to get some understanding of our ability. And you know what? If my ability for the Lord scrubbing the toilet, I just need to know that and get busy. That's okay, right? My ability for the Lord is not song leading. You know that. So I don't waste my time in the song leading district. I just sit back there and listen to Glenn sing the bass so that I can get the general tune, right? We need to involve our membership according to their giftedness, help them understand what their gifts are, and create circumstances by which that giftedness can be utilized. There's always positions open at the Cedarlow Church of Christ. We make new ones. You know what, church? Sometimes we've made up positions just so that people can have something to do. See anything wrong with that? I hope you say no. Because plugging somebody in according to their giftedness is one of the greatest areas to grow a person and a church. This next one. Let me just jump right on this. Yeah, both feet. If you're going to grow a church, you've got to excel in conflict management. What Satan cannot block, make difficult, or retard with external sources, he stirs up conflict internal to the church to destroy every good effort. How many people, you've heard the expression walking on eggshells? How do you like being around somebody you got to walk on eggshells around? That's just horrible. Man, I got to tell you, just thinking about it gives me the willies. I mean, it's a bad deal. We've got to learn how to disagree and still love each other. How to work through our problems in love. How to be able to say that we're angry at each other and give each other enough time to cool off and know that we're going to come back together again. You know I'm going to give an example, don't you? Are you hoping it's not going to be you? Here a few weeks ago, Glenn and I had an argument about some scriptural point, and I mean, I totally did not agree with him, and he was wrong, by the way. And he totally did not agree with me. And you know what? For a couple of weeks, we didn't have a whole lot to say because we were brooding. Weren't we? Is that right? We were thinking. We were praying. We were studying. Glenn and I decided we were going to come back and sit down together and tell each other how much we loved each other. And that's just what we did. Have we got all that worked out? No. But we started studying on it. Glenn and I love each other as much as any two people in here probably love each other. Resolving conflict. Thanks for letting me share that. So how are you going to deal with conflict? It's my way or the highway. It's an American philosophy. Or start judging the other person. I want to tell you something. Conflict is not bad. Our objective here is not to not have conflict. If you heard that, you misunderstood me. Conflict resolved in a godly way draws people closer together. Right? Our objective is not to avoid conflict, but to work through conflict in a loving way. Isn't that a cool thing? That means this nothing that you're going to do is going to make me turn my back on you. Especially if you make barbecue for me. It means we love each other deeply. We need to become a people that take conflict resolution seriously. People who are willing to sit down and talk to each other. A people willing to study the Scripture together. A people willing to be concerned about each other. Yeah, skip that point. About time. And finally, I sure hope nobody moved that passage because I'm going to really be looking forward to... Excuse me for just a second while I look for a passage. I'm a weak brother. Ah, there it is. If we want to grow this church, we have to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. You know, that's my arch nemesis, really. That's my difficult spot. That's my hang up. Sometimes I don't know how to spur you on to love and good deeds. Sometimes a person, depending on the type of person they are, they need you to be bold and frank and straight to the point. Some people are that way. Other people need that loving, I'll cry with you for a while. For the life of me, I'm a man and I can't figure that out, but some people just really like for you to cry with them for a while. It says volumes about how much you... Everybody's different. So I've got to get to know you. I've got to be concerned about how to stimulate you. What do we have that discussion like? Prod you, poke you, motivate you, plug your word in. You see what I'm getting at? That tells me something. I'm responsible for your growth as much as you're responsible for my growth. And collectively, we represent the growth of the kingdom in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Now, here, later on this year, maybe if I get my house sold and I move, I want to hear nothing about this church except it's growing. Because people are just going on being loving and kind and looking at these issues in their lives. That's our responsibility. Because we'll all be connected in the end. We're all connected now as a brotherhood. Let me ask you this in closing. Are you doing your part for church growth? Now, I want you to just fill in the blank right now. I, Russ Dabney. I, Rose Dobbs. I, Kirk Kelly. I'm doing all I can to promote kingdom growth. Can you sign your... Not just pick on y'all individually, but all of us. Can you sign your name to that document? I can't sign my name to that document. But I get more passionate about it each day. Hey, if we're not at least getting more passionate about it, we're slipping away. We're involved in robotic Christianity. That's not what we need to do. Hey, I hope that tonight has given you some things to think about. I hope that if anything, that you'll become more passionate about God. Because passion for Him will automatically lead to church growth. Are you with me? If you're passionate for Him, it leads you in Bible study, devotion, meditation, adoration, petition, intercession. The list goes on. Tonight, if there's someone here that understands that church growth hasn't been on their menu and wants to make a confession of that nature, maybe someone has something good to say. Maybe church growth has been on your menu and you got something you want to share. We'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.